Okay, today's daf is Bava Kamma daf Lamed Aleph. We are up to daf Lamed Amud Beis. We started to discuss yesterday the machlokas between Rav and Ze'iri. The machlokas appeared on the top of daf Lamed Amud Beis, where Rav said that Bein Begufan, Bein Beshivchan, that when you, going back in explaining the Mishnah, that when you put out your tevin, your kash, your straw into the Rosh Hashanah in order to produce zevel, in order to produce manure, and the way it was produced is that people and animals keep on walking over it and trampling all over it, so it becomes very usable as manure. So the Mishnah had said that kolakodim mehen zacha, that although you're chayiv for damages caused by the stuff you put out there, anyone who wants to take it is allowed to go ahead and take it. So this was a machlokas between Rav and Ze'iri. Rav said, what are they allowed to take? They're allowed to take anything. They could take the whole thing. They could take everything you put out there. They could take all the straw that you put out there. Ze'iri, however, says, no, it's very limited. They're not allowed to take anything. They're only allowed to take the shevach of a lo begufan, only whatever value has increased, whatever the value has increased by being out there, but to actually take the guf, to actually take all the straw that you put out, and the what we would call the keren, that they're not allowed to do. Only the shevach people are allowed to take. So yesterday we tried to link this machlokas to a machlokas regarding ribbis. When you lend money with ribbis, do we make a knas that you're not allowed to collect even the keren? Or do we say that no, you're allowed to collect the keren because you're allowed to lend money and collect keren. You're only not allowed to collect the ribbis. So we thought that maybe it would be linked to this machlokas between Rav and Ze'iri, because Rav would say that we're kones the guf atu the shavach, would perhaps also say we're kones the keren atu the ribbis. Whereas Ze'iri would say, no, we limit it to the part that's aser, and that is the extra part, not the keren. But then we rejected that link, and we said that it could be that each Amora can go like both Tanaim in regards to the ribbis case, or ribbis case is different. So now we're on the third wide line, and we're going to suggest that it's that the Machlokas Rav and Ze'iri in fact relates to a different Machlokas Tanaim. So Lema Kahani Tanaim. Maybe the Machlokas Rav and Ze'iri is reflective of a different Machlokas Tanaim. Hamoti Tivno V'kashu L'Roshos HaRabim L'Zavalim V'Huzak Behen Acher Chayiv Benisko V'Kalakodim En Zacha V'Asur Mishum Gezel. That's sounds really familiar because that's our Mishnah, right? If a person puts his tevin and his kash into the Rosh Hashanah to make zevel, someone gets hurt from it, so you're chayiv for the damages, but anyone who wants to take it is allowed to take it. However, it is also mishum gezel. Rami Shimon Gamliel Omer kol makalkul b'shursa rabim v'zikur chayavim l'shalim kol hakodem en zacha umutar mishum gezel. He says that no, that anyone who wants to take it is allowed to take it, and it's mutar mishum gezel. This is actually a brisa. It's not exactly our mishum because it adds that extra line, meaning it says but within the Tanakama that it's asur mishum gezel, and within Rami Shimon Gamliel it says that it's mutar mishum gezel. So frek the Gemara, but I don't get it. What is the Tanakama saying exactly? Anyone's allowed to take it, but it's stealing? How does that make any sense? Hagufa kasha, amrit kolakodim ben zacha, it says that anyone who wants is allowed to go ahead and take it, v'hadukamar asur mishum gezel. But then it says, no, it's asur mishum gezel. It's called stealing. So how can that make any sense? How could it be asur mishum gezel and you're allowed to take it? So Tos says the logical answer that one would think of is to say, no, when it says asur mishum gezel, it doesn't mean the first guy is not allowed to take it. Like we said in yesterday's daf. Asur, I mean, in this same daf, but, you know, we learned yesterday, that asur mishum gezel doesn't mean that no one's allowed to take it. It means that once the first person takes it, you're not allowed to take it from him. It's an issue of Gezel to take it from him. So Seth tells us that we don't want to say that right now, because then when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel comes along and says, Mutar Mishum Gezel, what's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel saying? That if a first guy comes and claims it and takes it, good, and then Mutar Mishum Gezel, anyone's allowed to come and steal it from him? That doesn't make any sense. Why would that possibly be allowed? So that's why we don't want to say that answer. So what exactly does the Tanakhama mean when he says that you're allowed to take it, but it's asur mishum gezel? Elalav hachikamer. Maybe this is what he means. V'kalakodem ben zacha b'shivchan v'asur mishum gezel agufan. Maybe the line that you're allowed to take it and the line that it's asur mishum gezel are referring to two different parts of it. The shevach you're allowed to take. The guf, that's asur mishum gezel. And then it would line up perfectly with Zi'iri. That's b'shifchan of a lo b'gufan. That you're only allowed to take the shavach, but not the guf. And va'asar m'shum gamliel l'meimer, that m'shum gamliel comes and he argues and he says, afilu gufan nami kolak adam ed zacha. That you're even allowed to take the guf. So if that's the case, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel lines up perfectly with Rav. Rav said, Bein Begufo, Bein Beshivchan. So you see, the Shitos in Tanayim line up perfectly with the Shitos in the Amorayim. So Rav and Zeiri are arguing in a Machlokas that's already a Machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rav lines up with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Zeiri lines up with the Tanakama. So generally, that's not a good thing. We don't want the Amorayim to line up perfectly with Machlokas Tanayim, because then what are the Amorayim contributing? What are they arguing about if it was already discussed in earlier generations of Tanayim? So answers the Gemara, no, the Zi'iri Vadei Tanayi. According to Zi'iri, Zi'iri would understand that we definitely have a Machlokas Tanayim. Meaning, Zi'iri would say that since I hold that B'Shivchan of a Lo B'Gufan, I would have to say that my shita is just is a psak halacha that I am paskening like the Tanakama. But Einachinami, I acknowledge that Rav Shimon Gamliel argues and Rav Shimon Gamliel thinks that it's bein begufan bein b'shivchan. So Zeiri says, yeah, it's machlokas tanaim. What am I contributing when I say b'shivchan of lo begufan? I'm paskening for you. It's machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. I'm paskening that it's b'shivchan of lo begufan. I'm paskening like the Tanakama. But l'rav mi lema tanaihi. Rav is not necessarily just paskening like the other shita, like Rav Shimon Gamliel. He might say that it's not even a machlokas tanaim, that everyone would agree with him that it's bein begufan bein b'shivchan. Why? Everyone would agree that there's a knas that you're allowed to take the guf just like you're allowed to take the shevach. If the guy leaves there out in the Rosh Hashanah, it's fair game. Anyone's allowed to take it. Everyone would agree with that. So what exactly are the Tanakam and Rav Shimon Gamliel arguing about? Over here they're arguing about whether if someone were to ask if they should do it, whether we would tell them to do it. Meaning there's no question if someone were to take it, they're allowed to keep it, that it's theirs. That's the halacha. The question is, if someone were to ask a rabbi and they were to say, look, there's straw out there, someone obviously put it out to make zevel, am I allowed to take it? So the question is, so on the shevach, of course, go ahead and take it. The question is, on the guf, would we be morin kain? Would we tell them as a lechatchila to go take it? That's the machlokas. If you look at Rashi, ba'alach vein morin kain kamithvi, Tanakama savar halacha de kansu gufan ve'in morin kain. Yes, it is a halacha that we made a knas that you're allowed to take the guf, but we don't go and teach that to someone. V'achi kamar halacha kol kodem en zacha v'afilu gufan di'eved. If b'di'eved he took it, it's okay. But v'yasi mireisha l'kaman l'muchay. But if the guy were to come and ask us, amrinan le'asur mishum gezel, we would tell him, sorry, it's asur mishum gezel. Now it's interesting, the Maritz Chayes points out over here, halacha ve'in morin kain in all of Shas generally means that the halacha is a certain way, but we don't go around teaching it publicly. We don't get up in a public place and tell everyone about that halacha because we're afraid it's going to be misunderstood. But on a personal basis, it's the halacha. So if someone asks you a shaila personally, you would tell them what the halacha is. You wouldn't say vein morin kain. Over here, Rashi is saying different. Rashi saying vein morin kain doesn't mean publicly. Vein morin kain means lechatchila. It means privately. That even if someone privately comes and asks you, but as a lechatchila, you're not supposed to be morin kain. You're not supposed to teach him. So we have to figure out why Rashi understands halacha vein morin kain differently over here than he does in the rest of Shas. So the truth is, it will become clear in another line or two. So, but that's just a ha'ara to be aware of that Maritz Chayes makes. So what's the machlok style about halacha vein morin kain? Ditmar Rav Huna Marav halacha vein morin kain. Rav Hadbar Rava Amar halacha umorin kain. Rav Huna says in the name of Rav that this is halacha vein morin kain. Rav Hadbar Rava says this is halacha umorin kain. You can even pask in this way for somebody lichachila. Frakting Mara Aini, is that really so? Vaha Rav Huna Afkar Chushli. There was a case where someone left out barley that was peeled in a Rosh Hasharabim in order that they should dry out. And Rav Huna said, guess it's Hefker for anyone who wants to take it. People who were asking him whether they can take it, he paskined, absolutely yes, you're allowed to take it. So apparently it's halacha umarin kain. He was telling them lechatchila, they're allowed to go ahead and take it. So how can you call it that halacha ve'ein marin kain? Rav Adi Barava Afker Slikusta, and Rav Adi Barava Also, there was a case where people left out dates that were used in beer production. For whatever reason, they left it out to somehow improve it by leaving it in the Rishus HaRabim, by having people trample all over it. And Rav Adi Bar Abba said, go ahead and take it. Again, as a L'chadchila D'Kedin, he allowed people to go ahead and take it. Which, by the way, the Maris Chayis points out, this is what drove Rashi to say Ve'ein Morin Kein means, that as a L'chadchila, you're not supposed to tell people to do it. Because if Ve'ein Morin Kein only meant, we don't teach it publicly, how do we know that these cases of Rav Huna and Rav Adi Bar Abba were cases where they taught publicly that you're supposed to take it? Maybe they only taught it privately, and therefore it shouldn't be a kasha at all. By virtue of the fact that this is a kasha on Halach Vein Morin Kein, it must be that Halach Vein Morin Kein means it's even us and the teacher privately. You're not even supposed to tell Paskin it L'chadchila privately, because these cases of Rav Huna and Rav Adi Bar Abba may have very well been privately. So, and if it's a kasha, so it has to be that halacha vein morin kein means they're not supposed to teach as a chadchila dika halacha even privately. So says Gemara, Bishlam Rav Adi Bar Abba kishmaite. Rav Adi Bar Abba, I understand very well why he paskin that anyone's allowed to go and take it, because Rav Adi Bar Abba is the one that said halacha morin kein. So that's great. Rav Huna lema hadebe, but should we suggest that Rav Huna changed his mind? That originally Rav Huna said halacha vein morin kein, and then he just goes and he says, yeah, mafkir, and anyone's allowed to go ahead and take it. So Gemara says, no, there's a difference. Hanu musrin havu. Difference is, in the case of Rav Huna, where he said everyone's allowed to go and take it, that's where the owner was warned on multiple occasions to go and take away whatever he left out in the Rishus Rabim. He ignored the warnings. So at that point, it's already halacha morin kein that you're allowed to take it. Once he's been warned, but if a guy just leaves something out and he was never warned to take it back in, then it would be, if you take it, good, halacha, you're allowed to take it. But if you ask, should you take it, ain morin kein. Once he's warned, it becomes even morin kein. Then the owner loses out. Okay, new Mishnah. We are up to Lamin Aleph, three lines from the top. New Mishnah. Shnei Kadar and Shema. We're now about to discuss the series of Mishnayos that probably relate to how the halacha would view getting rear-ended in an accident. Right, whose is the front car or the back car chayiv? Because we're going to talk about a series of Mishnayos where there are two people walking one behind the other, and someone swerves, someone trips, someone, right, or someone stops, and the other person gets damaged. So we're going to talk about all those halachos, and we'll try to discuss through the course of it, not today, but probably tomorrow, about how this relates to modern day examples. Shnei kadarin shayim mahalchin zachar zeh. If two potters are walking one after another, v'nitka l'rishon v'nafal, first guy trips and falls, v'nitka l'sheni b'rishon, and the second one trips on the first guy. So rishon chayiv b'niske sheni. Since the first guy fell, he's responsible for his own falling, and therefore he has to pay for the damage done to the second guy. So the kol haramaz is medayik. Why does it say by the first guy that he's nitkal v'nafal, and the second guy is just v'nitkal? The second guy just says he tripped, doesn't say anything about falling. Probably if he tripped without falling, then there's no damages, right? So he must have tripped and fell also. So why does it only say v'nafal by the first guy and not by the second guy? So he says he uses this diuk to prove what the Gemara is going to say, that shahay lo lamud v'lo amad, that the first guy is at fault, not because he fell. Falling is not necessarily a problem here. People fall. The problem is he had time to get up and he didn't. So it's v'nitkal, first he tripped. Okay, that he's not going to be responsible for. But then v'nafal, he was nofel asatzmo. He let himself remain down on the ground. Like to quote the President of the United States, you got to get up and dust yourself off, right? You can't leave yourself sitting on the ground. So that's what we add by v'nafal. So says Gemara, and we'll see how this fits in beautifully with what the Gemara is saying. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo te masnis Rav Meir yidamar nitkal poshehu. Don't think that our Mishnah is automatically going like Rav Meir, who thinks that anyone who trips is automatically a poshea, is negligent, and that's why the first one is chayiv for the damage to the second guy. V'chayiv el afil rabbanan damri anus hu pater. Even if you assume like Rabbanan that someone who trips, it's an anus. People sometimes trip. It's not always your fault that you trip. It's just natural. If you're going to take X amount of steps in your life, how many thousands of steps you can take in your life, it's natural that you're going to trip at some point. So you can't call someone who trips a poshea, right? So so if you assume like the Rabbanan that it's an anus and you're pater for tripping and damaging as you trip, Hacha chayiv, shayilu lamad v'lamad. But still our Mishnah is saying you're chayiv, because our Mishnah is speaking of a case where you fell and you could have gotten up, but you chose not to. And again, that's the diuk of the Mishnah. That's why it said not just nitkal, but nitkal v'nafal, that he fell and he tripped and he remained fallen. He would not get himself up. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's shita. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, afilu tema lo hayilu lamod, hayilu lahazhir v'lo hishir. Even if he didn't have time to get up, he still should have at least shouted out to the guy behind him, watch out, and that would have been enough, right? So from the fact that he didn't do that, he's going to be chayiv. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're only going to be chayiv if there was actually time to get up. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says it doesn't have to have been time to get up. There just had to be enough time to scream, and there's always enough time to scream. As long as you're mazir, the guy behind you, right? That's in the modern day example, that would be the brake light. Right, if the guy knows that you're stopping, so you're giving the warning, you're letting him know. So that's all you have to do, and that's what you're expected to do, if as long as there's time for that. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kivin de Lo Hayilu Lamod Lo Hayilu LaHazir D'Tarin. Rabbi Yochanan says no. If you didn't have enough time to get up, then you obviously couldn't collect your thoughts quickly enough to warn either, to scream out to the guy either. It's just it happened so quickly and you weren't thinking and the guy right away trips over you. If there was enough time to get up, fine, so then you're chayiv. But if there's not enough time to get up, then you're not expected to scream out a warning either. How would you paskin in this machlokas, right? If you have a machlokas between Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak and Rabbi Yochanan, so generally the halach is hilchsa kebasra, so you paskin like Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Happens to be the Rif paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, and the Rush disagrees. The Rush says, why would you paskin like Rabbi Yochanan? It's hilchsa kebasra. So if you only have this Gemara, these few lines of Gemara, it would seem that it's a very strong kasha on the Rif. We're going to see maybe there's a Gemara in Amud Beis where the stem of the Gemara assumes like Rabbi Yochanan. If that's the case, then we could understand very well why the Rif would pass on like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, tonight, Hayah Balkor Rishon Balchavis Achron. We have a Mishnah where a guy is carrying a beam and there's someone carrying a barrel behind him. Nishbra Chavis Bekorah Patir. And the guy carrying the barrel behind him bumped into the guy carrying the beam. The beam broke the barrel. Still, the one who held the beam is going to be Patir. Vim Amad Balkorah. Now, when you carry a beam and you break something with that beam, that's not called your shor, even though it sounds like it's mamon amazik because it's your beam that broke something. If you're holding it, it's adam amazik, right? If you beat someone up with a baseball bat, it's not a shor, right? It's even though it's the baseball bat that did the beating, it's adam amazik. So all these cases we said before that if a person trips, he's according to the rabbanon, he's an anus and he's pater. And over here, the guy carrying the beam is not adam amazik, but yet he's pater. So didn't we say that Petzah Tachas Petzah, the Gemara said in Daf Chavav, that an Adam Amazik is Chayiv Bein B'Shogig Bein Mezid Bein Ba'ones Bein B'Ratzon? Right, so that's the Kasha of the Tosfos Rashi. Says, what are these cases that you're an Adam Amazik and you're Pater? Why? Because you're an Ones? An Adam Amazik is Chayiv even Ba'ones. So the Rashi says what you see is that an Adam Amazik is sometimes Chayiv Ba'ones, sometimes not. Meaning there are cases where you have Ones, with the Adam HaMazik is not Chayiv. And these are the cases. These are examples of, I guess it's a big enough Ones, it's accidental enough, that even Adam HaMazik is going to be Pater. But anyway, so we say the Bala Kora is going to be Pater for the damage done to the Chavis. V'im Amad Bal Kora Chayiv. But if the Bal Kora had just stopped out of nowhere, without any warning, then he's going to be Chayiv. My lav sha'amad the kasef to orchehu v'katani chayev the havle lahasir. Now, aren't we assuming that the balkor stopped in a very normal way? He stopped to adjust the beam because it was heavy, which is a very normal thing to do as you're walking with something heavy. And still, he's going to be chayev. Why is he chayev? Not because he did something out of the ordinary, but because he should have warned the guy behind him. So, don't you see that you're expected to warn the person behind you? You have to have your brake lights inspected. You have to make sure that you're able to warn the person behind you. So it says, well, no, that's not all the case. It's a case where he didn't stop in a normal way. He stopped just to take a rest. Now, it is normal to stop to take a rest, meaning, but it's not normal to stop to take a rest in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, right? It's normal to park your car and take a pit stop. It's not normal to do so in the middle lane of a 5-lane highway, right? So that's a omi lafush, which is abnormal for someone standing in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, and that's why he's going to be chayiv. Avalam lekasef mai. But if he had just stood to adjust his burden, what would the halacha be? Pater. Then the halacha would be his pater. So says Gemara, if that's the case, though, if that's true, at the Tani Seifa, when the Seifa tries to come up with a case of pater, so why does the Seifa say v'im amar lo lebal chavis amod pater? That if you issue a warning to the guy behind you that he better stop because you're stopping, that you're pater. If you wanted to come up with the case that you're pater, you could say a much bigger chiddush. Liflug v'lisni b'tida. Why don't we make the chiluk minei ubei and say b'med var mamurim kisha amadafush? That when are you going to be chayiv? Only if you stand, if you stop in order to rest. Avlam the kasif pater, but if you stop in order to adjust the burden, you're pater. Why don't we say that? If you want to come up with a case that you're pater, instead of saying a case where you warn the guy behind you and making a whole new metzius, say no, it's just a case where you stop, you don't say anything, but you're still going to be pater because you're omade in order to adjust the burden. So says we're now hakamash, we wanted to teach the following chiddush. To afal gav dom and lafush ki karmel lo dval chavis amod pater, that you can even stop in an abnormal way to rest in the middle of Rosh Hashanah and still be pater. How could you be pater? By warning the guy behind you. So that's a chiddush, that even when you stop in an abnormal way, there's still a hechitim so that you can be pater. Tashma, another raya. Hakadarn vazagagin. The potters and zagagin, Rashi says, are mochre kli zechuchis. People who sell kli zechuchis, people who sell glass. I think, I don't know if the etymology of zag normally means a bell, right? Doesn't normally relate to glass. So the Rimi Lamil says, yeah, it relates to a bell because the people who would sell glass would go around shaking a bell. It'd be like the ice cream truck. They would go around with a bell to let people know that they were there. So anyway, so the Kadarin and the Zagagin, Shayu Mahalchin Zachar, that were walking one behind the other. Obviously, they're both carrying things that are extremely fragile. Nitkal Rishon V'Nafal. First guy trips and falls. V'nitkal Hasheni B'Rishon. Second guy trips on the first guy. Vashlishi B'Sheni. It's a three-car pilot, right? And the third guy trips on the second guy. Rishon Chayiv B'Niskei Sheni. V'Sheni Chayiv B'Niskei Shlishi. The first guy is Chayiv to pay for damage onto the second. And the second guy has to pay for damage onto the third guy. V'Machmas Rishon Naflu. Rishon Chayiv B'Niskei Kulam. But if the first one is really responsible for all the falling, so then he has to pay for everything. V'Nisiru Zez Zepeturim. But if they warned each other, so then they're pater. So my love Shalom Hayilan Lamod isn't the case, speaking about a case where they shouldn't have stopped, they shouldn't have stood still. So they should have stopped. Avalo Hayilan Lamod Mai Pater. But if it were a case where they shouldn't have stopped, so then in Echnami you'd be Pater. If that's the case, why, when the Seifa wants to come up with a case of pater, does it say if they warn each other you're pater? Let it be mechalik within the case we're talking about. You wanted to come up with a case of pater, you should have come up with a case of lo hayelan lamod, rather than going with a case where you warn the guy behind you. So it says Gemara, Hakamashmalan. The Afagav the Hayulahan Lamod, Ki is Hiruzeza Paturin. Even though it's Hayulahan Lamod, nevertheless, if they warn each other, they're going to be Pater. Meaning, he wants to tell me a case that you could even be Pater in the case of Hayulahan Lamod. Amar Rava, Rishon Chayiv Beniske Sheni, Bein Beniske. Okay, so now from here on in, this Sugya, going forward, is subject to many, many different shittos in Rishonim. You'll notice there's a very long Tosfos here in Amar Rava, and it doesn't look like there are very long Rashis, but if you flip to Amud Beis, all the Rashis on this Sugya appear on Amud Beis. So we're going to do it like Rashi and with Rashi. It depends on the Girsaos. Your Pshat in the Sugya is going to depend on the Girsaos, so we're going to stick with our Girsa, which is Rashi's Girsa, and with the Pshat in that Rashi gives. So just to avoid any, or avoid whatever confusion we're able to avoid. We'll read it along with the Rashis. You know, normally when we do the daf, we don't read all the Rashis. This is important, just pasha pshat. You need to get the Rashis. So, Amar Rava, Rishon Chayiv, until time runs out and we're unable to read the Rashis, we'll read the Rashis. Amar Rava, Rishon Chayiv Beniske Sheni, Bein Beniske Gufo, Bein Beniske Mamono. The first guy is Chayiv in the second guy's damage, both in damage of the body and damage of the money. Now, what does damage of the body, damage of the money mean? So when you read it first, you assume niske gufo, niske mamono means damage that's done to the person's body, damage done to the person's money. However, if you look at Rashi, if you look at the starting from v'hachi pirusha, on the second skinny line, v'hachi pirusha, rishon chayiv beniske sheni, Bein shenizak begufo shel rishon, bein shehuzak bimamono shel rishon. No, it means damage caused by the person's body, damage caused by the person's money, right? So that's what we're saying, that the first guy is going to be chayiv no matter what caused the damage to the second guy, whether it was his body that caused the damage to the second guy, or it was his money, his kalim, that caused the damage to the second guy. However, the Gemara says, Vayter, sheini chayiv b'niskei shlishi, b'niskei gufo avalo b'niskei mamono. The second guy is going to be chayiv for damaging the third guy only if he damages him with his body, but not if he damages him with his money. So again, look at Rashi for pshat. So Rashi says, Valchi Perusho again. Rishon Chayv Beniske Sheni Beim Chenizik Gufo Shal Rishon Beim Shuzik Bemono Shal Rishon. Why Gufo Kedid Mazik V'Chayv? When the first guy damages the second guy with his body, so it's not the Mamazik. So you Chayv Afal Kalim. You Chayv on anything that you damage. Afal Kalim the Sheni the Gufo Lamashrinu Le Kedid Bar Umamono Kedid Bar. We don't treat his Guf like a bar. Your Guf is an Adam Mamazik. Umamono, when you damage with your money, have libitoras bar. When you damage it, when the first guy's money damages the second guy, so then that's a din of his bar damaging the second guy. So now there's a big difference. Even though we said the first guy is chayiv, whether it's himself who damages or his money that damages, there's a big difference between the two. When it's himself who damages, it's adam amazik. Adam amazik is chayiv for anything that it damages. When his money damages, it's bar. Bar is only chayiv on Adam. Bar is not chayiv on Kalim. Right? Bar is not going to be chayiv if it damages Kalim. So v'chayiv al guf beis upater al guf beis upater al kelav im huzak mamon b'mamon pater. The bar chayiv bo niskei Adam tamrin leel d'chidashin shav l'adam lina katala avlin nizak and chayiv upater ba'as ha-kelim. So although we said the first guy is chayiv whether it's his guf that damages or it's his money that damages, there's a big difference between the two chayuvim. His guf that damages is going to be chayiv no matter what it damages. His money that damages is only going to be chayiv if it damages the other person's guf, not if it damages the other person's money. Then we said, but v'sheini chayiv b'niskei shlishi kedid mazik hecha duhuzak begufo shel sheini avlo b'niskei mamono. The second guy that tripped, if tripped on the first guy, when he damages the third guy, he's only chayiv for damages caused by his own body, not chayiv for damages caused by his money. Shemamono shel sheini hizikas shlishi begufo eno chayiv afilu toras borein lo ala kadero shel sheini lis chayiv. Meaning we assume that the second guy's money doesn't even have the status of a bar. It's not enough to be mechayiv at all. But mashi hizik vafilu hizik begufo shel shlishi. So the second guy's money goes and hurts the third person, even if it hurts the third person's guf, he's totally pater. It doesn't even have the status of bar. So essentially, just to make a long story short, the first guy trips, his guf that damages is adam amazik. His money that damages is bar. Second guy trips, his guf that damages sounds like it's adam amazik. His money that damages is nothing. He's pater from it totally. It's not even bar. So asks the Gemara, really? That sounds a little bit strange. Mimanavshach. E nit kal posheyahu sheni nami lechayiv. If when you tripped you're considered a posheya, so then let the second guy's money be a bar also. Let him be chayiv for his money that fell as a result of his pshia. He was negligent and therefore his stuff landed in the rishus rabim and was able to damage people. Let him be chayiv. E nit kal lav posheyahu. If tripping is not considered negligence, so then afilu rishon nami liftar. Then the first guy should also be pater. He didn't do anything negligent. He should be pater again, not on his guf when his guf damages adam amazik. So fine, but at least let his or maybe even on his guf. But at the very least, let him be pater on his bar. Let him be pater on his mamon that remains in the rosh hashanah and does the damage. So that's the kasha, right? The gemara is miman afshuch. Why would the first guy's mamon be considered bar and the second guy's mamon be pater? So the Gemara answers, no, Rishon vade posheahu. The first guy is posheya. Clearly, when you trip, you're posheya. That we're assuming. And therefore, his money that lands in the Rosh Hashanah and that remains in the Rosh Hashanah has a din of bar. And he's going to be chayiv for it. Why is the second guy's money not considered a bar? Sheni agufo mechayiv dahav lo lamod velo amad. The second guy is going to be chayiv for his guf, because his guf, he should have stood up and he didn't stand. Meaning even, he wasn't negligent when tripping over the first guy. The first guy was negligent in tripping. Second guy wasn't negligent in tripping. But what was he negligent in doing? After he tripped, he should have gotten up and gotten out of the way. And he chose not to. Now, notice the lashon of the Gemara. It says, Hayilo lamod v'lama. It doesn't say, Hayilo lahazir v'lo hizir. That he should have screamed out to the guy behind him and he didn't. So that's what some of the Achronim point out. Maybe you see from here, the Shoshanim Ludav, according to the Shor Mitzion Balacha, points out, maybe you see from here why the Rif Paskins and Anamid Aleph, when we mentioned that Machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, what are you expected to do when you fall? Is it only if you have time to get up that you're expected to get up? Or even if you just have enough time to scream out, you're expected to do that too? So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, even if you only have time to scream out, you're expected to do that. Rav Yochanan said, no, that's unreasonable. If you didn't have time to get up, then you don't have time to get it all together to scream out either. So we said, why does the Rif Paskin like Rav Yochanan? Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is the Basra. He should have passed like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So that's what the Shoshana Mudav points out. You see over here that the Gemara is assuming the stem of the Gemara, just the Shigra Delishna, the Gemara says, yeah, Ha'ilo Lamud V'lo Aman. It doesn't say Ha'ilo Lahazir V'lo Hizir. So we see all we expect from the person is to get up if there's time. We don't expect a person who doesn't have time to get up to go and scream. And that's probably why, because the stam of the Gemara speaks like this, stam of the Gemara seems to pass like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. That's probably why the Rif passes like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. But anyway, the point is, he wasn't Poshea. He was only Poshea in the sense that once he fell, he should have gotten up. So I'm a mono pater, so that for his guf that does damage, he's going to be chayiv. But his mamon that does damage, he's going to be pater. Damlei haibira lava anakarise. He could say, look, the bar that's in the Rosh Hashanah, granted, my kelim fell into the Rosh Hashanah, but I didn't fell them, right? I didn't put them there. I'm not the one that dug this bar. It was the guy before me who was poshea and tripped that made this bar happen, because my tripping over him is not Shia. I'm not negligent when I trip over him. So he's the one that dug this bar. It's his problem, not my problem. So if you look at Rashi, Rishon Vaday Poshea, who a few lines before the lines get wide, to mean Nafshe Nafel, the first guy is Poshea because he fell on his own. Hilkach Gufo Havi Kimazik. So his guf is like a mazik, is not a mamazik. Vamamono havele kora baru mechayiv, and his mamon is like a bar. Mechayiv mi agufo desheni, and therefore he's going to be chayiv for whatever a bar is chayiv. So he's going to be chayiv for damage done to the guf of the second guy. But here's a key point, says Rashi, v'kasava rava, t'rabanan lo pligi alei d'rameir benit kal posheahu, k'du uki le'el abaye d'betarti pligi, El ba'afkir nezakov hu depligi, aval nitkal me'atzma poshea hu deverakol. Meaning, over here, Rava saying that nitkal's poshea. Now, if it's machlok shamer and the Rabbanan, as we assumed before, that Rameir said nitkal's poshea, the Rabbanan said nitkal is anus, why would Rava be passing like Rameir against the Rabbanan? So you have to assume at this point that Rava understands that there is no machlokes Rameir in the Rabbanan, that everyone would agree nitkal's posheya. I mean, it all goes back to whether you understand that there are two machlokesim or one machlokes way back in the Mishnah. Where was it? Chafav? Way back in the Mishnah over there, whether it was two machlokesim or one machlokes. So you have to write the chavtes where Abaye said it was bitarti pligi. You have to assume that Rava is saying no. Everyone agrees nitkal's posheya. That's the underlying assumption of Rava's whole comment over here. So the first guy, when he falls, he's poshea, and therefore his body is an adam amazik. His money is bar. The second guy who falls, the Rashi in the first wide line, sheni b'nifilaso anusu. Second guy is an anus when he falls. But agufo miya mechayiv kamazik biyadayim shay lo lamad v'lo amad. But he's still going to be chayiv for damage that his body does, because he should have gotten up and he chose not to get up. Damage that his money does, he's patur though, because it's a bar that he didn't make. So says Gemara Meisvei, is that really so? That we have such a chilik that the first guy's money that damages, he's going to be chayiv for. Second guy's money does damage, he's not going to be chayiv for. So Meisvei, kulan chayiv nal niske gufan, a patur nal niske mamonon. All of them are chayiv on niske gufan and a patur on niske mamonon. So, my love, afilu rishon, when you say all of them, doesn't that mean they all have the same halacha? That all the guys, including the first guy, are only chayiv for damage done by their bodies, not for damage done by their money, which is against what we just said Rava holds. We just said Rava holds that the first guy is chayiv even for damage done by his money. So says lo levar mi rishon. When we say kulan, we mean everyone except for the first guy. The question is, so who? Who's chayiv? Everyone except for the first guy means the second guy is chayiv for... So it's only the second guy, right? There wasn't even the third guy. There was no fourth guy that tripped on the third guy, right? So who's the kulan? It's what's the havamina? So says Gemara, v'kulam katani. That could be the Gemara's kasha, meaning that you can understand the Gemara's kasha in two ways. V'kulam katani might mean, how could you say it's except for the first guy? Kulam means everybody, right? Or you could say, no, you can't use the word kulam when you're only describing one person. Right, the word kulam doesn't make sense when describing one. There's a machlokas, there's a discussion. Can the word kol or kulam describe two things? or does it need to be a minimum of three? Do you say all of them when you're only talking about two things? There's a having nothing to do with this is a discussion in the end of Parak Vav Hilchos Sodei HaTorah, where the Kesef Mishnah comments on this. The Rambam writes in the end of Parak Vav Hilchos Sodei HaTorah, he tries to show in different Sfarim how different words might refer to Hashem and might refer to be a Shem Chol. So he says in Sefer Daniel, the word Chol, every time it says Malchaya, except for one, relates to is a shame. I don't remember if he says a shame kodesh or shame chol. But every time it says malchaya, it's one or the other. It's a shame kodesh or a shame chol. So Kazimish says every time. There's only one other time. You can't say kol when you're talking about two things. Two things doesn't mean kol. So you see that the lashon kol according to Kazimish can't be nofel on two items. But anyway, the Gemara's kash is strong either way. Hakulam katani. How could you say it means everyone except for the first guy if it says kulam? Kulam means the first guy also. So I'm Ravad Barava kulan hani zakin. No, it means all of the damagees, not all of the damagers. Right? We said all of the those who get damaged are chayiv on niske gufan and not on niske monan. But the first guy never got damaged; he only caused damage. So he's chayiv bein beniske gufo bein beniske mamono. He's going to be chayiv for damage that he does directly or damage that he does with his money. So hi, my frankly, why does this make any sense? Iyam rabishlam afilu rishon hainu dekatani kulan. If you want to include the first guy, so kulan is a good word to choose. But if you're going to exclude the first guy anyway, Eliyam with the Varmi Rishon, my Kulan, listen to Hanizakin. Is Kulan really the right word? Shouldn't you just say Hanizakin, the guys who get damaged, and then I'll know who you're talking about? Why would you use the word Kulan if we're excluding the first guy from the list? So Ella Amar Rava says, scratch everything we just said. The way we understood Rava is totally wrong. When we started the Gemara and we thought Rava was talking about when Rava said the first guy is chayiv bein beguf bein bemamon, second guy is only chayiv beguf not bemamon, and we said who's guf, who's mamon? So we said bein with damage done by his own guf, by his own mamon, and the second guy is chayiv only for damage done by his own guf and not by for damage done by his own mamon. So no, that's not what Rava meant at all. Ella amar Rava rishon chayiv bein beniske gufo desheni bein beniske mamono desheni. We're not talking about how the first one damages the second one. We're talking about what he damages, not what part of him damages the other guy, but we're talking about the victim. We're saying that if the first guy damages the second one's guf or the second one's money, he's going to be chayiv. V'sheini chayiv b'niskei shlishi b'niskei gufo avalo b'niskei mamono. The second guy for damaging the third guy is only going to be chayiv for damaging his guf, is not going to be chayiv for damaging the third guy's money. So that's what Rav is saying. So, but Frakti Gemara, my time, what's the logic for that though? Why should that be true? Why should the first guy be chayiv? Let's assume now that everyone is only chayiv when their body damages somebody else, not for their money. We're only talking about when I damage with my own body. So why, when the first guy falls, he's chayiv for damages that his body causes to the other person's money or to the other person's body? The second guy falls, he's only chayiv for damages caused to the other person's body, not to the other person's money? If he's an adam amazik, how can you say he's only chayiv for damage done to the other person's body? That idea that you're only chayiv for the body, not for the money, is by a bar. How can you say the second guy's a bar? It's his body that's doing the damage. He's not the mamazik. So what's pshat? Says Mar, no, he's not. Davalei bar. V'lo metzina bar. Shekhaiv bosa kelim. The second guy, his physical body has a din of a bar. Halachically, he's treated like a bar. So it's a little bit strange. So if you look at Rashi, Ella Amar Rava, right? Rashi in the 7th or 8th wide line, Ella Amar Rava, Al kach Rav lo chiyav harishon beniske mamono shizik pesheni, delav posheahu. Rava would hold that when the first guy's money damages somebody else, he's not chayiv. He's a posheah. Yeah, I mean, he's not a posheah because when you fall, you're not a posheah. V'lo chilek berishon l'sheni el binizakin shehizik gufo. The only difference between the first guy and the second guy is how much are you chayiv when your body damages. First guy is chayiv for when his body damages no matter what it damages. Second guy is chayiv when his body damages only if his body damages another body. V'hachi amar Rava, Rishon havi gufo mazik v'chayiv afilu b'niske mamono shel sheni hol v'helo lamod. The first guy is an adam mazik, so he's going to be chayiv for everything when his body does damage. Like a regular adam mazik, he's going to be chayiv no matter what it damages because he should have gotten up. Aval sheni, the second guy, afilu hayelo lamod, even though he could have gotten up, still lo mechayev kulei hai kerishon. He's still not going to be as culpable as the first guy. Meaning we needed to downgrade his level of responsibility from the first guy. Because even though he could have gotten up, he's not as responsible as the first guy. The first guy tripped, and true, tripping is not negligence, it's just an accident. But still, it's much less of an accident than the second guy who trips on the first guy. The second guy tripping is a much bigger accident, is much less his fault, and therefore we can't hold him to the same level of chiyuv that we're going to hold the first guy. So what do we do? How do we downgrade his level of chiyuv? The rishon avi poshei tefei. The first guy is more negligent misheni than the second guy. Hilkach rishon vaday avi mazik v'sheni mistayei mashasle legufei bar v'chayev al niskei gufo shel shlishi. So the second guy, the way we downgrade his level of chiyuv is we treat him like a bar. We say that the second guy's body, even though up until now we didn't even think of the possibility of treating a human being's body as a bar, we said, oh, we treat his body like a bar, and therefore he's only going to be chayiv on the third guy's guf and not on the third guy's mamon. That works out great if you assume like Shmuel that anything could be a bar. According to Rav, part of the definition of a bar is that you have to make it hefker. So the second guy made his body hefker? It's not even shaykh. What are we talking about? It can't be that the second guy was mafkir his body. So how could there even be a possibility, according to Rav, that the second guy has a din of a bar? He can't be hefker. So says Gemara, Leolim Kedem Meikara. Let's go back to our first way of understanding Rava. When we said Bein Niske Gufo, Bein Niske Mamona, we meant whether the first guy damages with his body, with his mamon. Not that he damages someone else's body and someone else's mamon. Go back to the first understanding. When the second guy we said is Chayiv Bein Niske Gufo, Velo Bein Niske Mamona, means if he damages with his body, not with his mamon. I would kashlach kulan chayavin, but we had a problem because we said that kulam, all of them, which sounded like it includes the first guy, are only chayiv if they damage with their body, not if they damage with their money. So isn't that against Rava? Because Rava said even the first guy is chayiv even if he damages with his money. So maybe it's talking about when it says that they're all going to be putter when their money does damage. It means if their money does damage to someone else's money. Meaning, what do we say? That even according to Rava, the first way we understood him was that the first guy's body is an adam amazik. The first guy's money, yeah, he's chayef for it if it damages, but it has a din of a bar. It's only chayef for damaging a person. It's not chayef for damaging kalin. So that's what we mean. When we say everybody along the line, first guy, second guy, third guy, they're all going to be chayiv when their body does damage. They're not going to be chayiv when their money does damage. It means they're not going to be chayiv when their money does damage to someone else's money. The first guy's not chayiv when his money does damage to someone else's money because it's a bar. Second guy's not chayiv when his money does damage to someone else's money because he's not chayiv for his money that damages anybody. He's not the one that dug that bar. So they're all going to be putter when it's kelim b'kelim. Amar Mar, we had said in the Amar Aleph, in Machmas Rishon Naflu Rishon Chayiv Niskei Kulam. If it was the first guy's fault that they all fell, so the first guy has to pay for the second guy, third guy, all of them. So Machmas Rishon Hechi Naflu. How did the third guy fall because of the first guy, not because of the second guy? If the second guy fell behind the first guy, shouldn't the third guy have fallen on the second guy, not the first guy? So says Gemara of Papa Amar DePaskalu Orche Kishalda. That even if the third guy managed to avoid the second guy, the first guy is lying across the entire road like a novella that's lying out there across that blocks off the entire road, and that's why the third guy got hurt by him. Like a blind man's walking stick where he moves it all around across the entire road, so essentially it was unavoidable. So that's why he got damaged on the first guy and not on the second guy. Tosafos points out that there may be enough kamina between those two reasons, but we don't have time for it today. So Mr. Shem will pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow.